In our class yesterday, we discussed the introductory topic under the heading, The Things Which Matter Most. And our basic conclusion in that lesson was that priority is influenced by circumstance. That is, that things in our lives vary in their value and importance to us in relation to our understanding of where they fit in our lives and where they fit in God's purpose. For us, the circumstance is our mortality, and for us, the circumstance is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that primary influence should then affect the priority of everything in our life. Here we have no continuing city. Now today, I'd like to talk about one of the things which I believe matters most in our ability to set priorities, the capacity to remember. I must confess to a great surprise in my own personal Bible study as I got out the books and concordances and started to look at what I believe to be a most unusual emphasis, by God on our need to remember. It would seem that he is treating us as people who are very, very forgetful, who can't remember from one day to the next what they ought to do. And there's a very, very high emphasis in the scriptures on this question of remembering and forgetting. Now, everyone will have a sheet that gives some of the passages, not all, but some of the passages in the book of Deuteronomy that give these two words, forgetting and remembering, two dimensions of the same issue. If one remembers, they've not forgotten. If they've forgotten, they haven't remembered. Now, at the top of this page, we have the definitions, and it may be good just to review those definitions. To remember means, and these are Bible definitions now, definitions of our scripture words, to remember means to earnestly to remember, imprint, be mindful, recount, record, think on, make to be remembered, bring to remembrance. Those are all terms we're familiar with. We would assent to that. That's what we would understand about the word remember. That we can recall things of the past because they are in our minds, they are imprinted in our thoughts, we can bring them back when we need them. Forget, of course, means the obvious. It means the reverse. To be oblivious of, from want of memory or attention, to neglect. Now that's a little bit different than what I believe we might think in the conventional sense about forgetting. If we can't remember something, we simply cannot drudge it up from our memory. We try to remember a fact. And we meet people here at Bible school, and it's been 9 years since I've been to Bible school at Wilbraham, and we shake hands with someone and they say, "Do you remember who I am?" And I look into their face and, "Yes, I remembered you. Last time I saw you, you were just about to be married, and I knew your mom and dad, and you used to have a black car," and we assemble all the various facts. We try to reconstruct in our thinking various facts that'll help us remember, but we can't get the name. We cannot get the vital piece of information, the name. Now, that is recall. That's not exactly what the word is here, although it would certainly include that. When we come to this idea of neglect, to neglect is involved in the scriptural definition of this word forget. We are now on something which is a little more significant to us, other than just the inability to recall fact. It does not mean that we don't know. It means that it is not in our attention. It is not available and at our disposal to use. It is receded from the forefront of our mind. Now that, I believe, is the prominence here of this idea of forget, certainly in the Old Testament. That it's not that people don't know. And we're going to see that very vividly this morning. It's not that God's people in all ages don't know, although there's always the need for more information, and we need to study and bring new facts and ideas from the Scripture into our mind to teach us and instruct us. But by and large, we know. Our problem is neglect. Let's just look at a couple of the passages on the sheet. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, first passage. Take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. Lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. They would never forget, the children of Israel, never forget what they'd just been through. The plagues on Egypt, the deliverance from Egypt through the Red Sea, the hand of God guiding them through the desert. They were not likely to forget these things. What was likely to happen was that they were not going to be in the forefront of their mind to influence their actions, to influence their attitudes in their everyday behavior. Another passage in chapter 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. God is instructing them here about the purpose of their wandering in the wilderness. Remember, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. How are they going to forget that? The people to whom that is spoken were young people. When the prohibition to go in the land was given, they were below 20 years of age. And now they've grown up. Their whole adult lives had been in this desert. Is it likely they were going to forget 40 years of wandering in the Sinai desert? It is not likely. But what did it mean? What was God trying to teach these people? That was the point. And they were instructed here to remember, 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 do not forget. And the emphasis here seems absolutely incredible to me. And as I say, these are not all the passages that are found in Deuteronomy. The repetition of this idea is saying something very important to us, that there must be something about our minds which allows us to let slip from the forefront of our thinking things that are very important. Now, I would like to read to you some passages in the Bible, well-known passages, that talk about remembering. It's all through the Scripture. And I think you'll be amazed as you hear these passages together now to connect this word, remember, how often it occurs in the Scripture. For example, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Well-known passage from Ecclesiastes 12, remember now thy Creator. To Joshua, chapter 1, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. Remember. We just had the book of Deuteronomy. The whole summary of what had happened to the children of Israel had been recited by Moses and given to Joshua. Was he likely to forget it? The emphasis here, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. In the New Testament, Jesus says in one phrase, remember Lot's wife. How many times have we thought about Lot's wife recently? Not too often. I suppose in our readings we may have thought about it in an exhortation. It may have been brought to our mind. It's not something we think about every day. And maybe we don't have to every day. But there's something there which Jesus is saying to us. Remember, there's an important lesson that will affect our state of preparedness for his return. And there's a very pointed comment here by the Lord to remember Lot's wife. The Apostle Paul says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said. And I wonder how many here could remember the completion of that quote. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to receive, to give than to receive. I can't remember here reading it to you. I'm sorry. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It's a passage from the book of Acts, which Paul says in one of his speeches. In connection with our discipleship, the apostle writes again, "Wherefore remember that in times past ye were Gentiles in the flesh, separate from Christ." Remember where you came from. Don't ever forget it. Don't go back to it, but don't ever forget the state in which you lived before the calling of God. Remember that in times past ye were Gentiles in the flesh, separate from Christ. And perhaps one of the most famous passages in the whole of Scripture with this word remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We're going to go back to that passage later on. How would the Jews ever forget the Sabbath day? Every week it was there. Every cycle of 7 days, there would come the seventh day in which there were certain requirements. How were they ever going to forget it? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So we have here in these passages something that is being instructed to us by the Almighty about our need to imprint in our memories, to recount easily, not to neglect certain things about God's way, God's standards, God's law. Now, I want to talk for a few minutes about God's capacity to remember. And I'd like you to think about this statement. Our whole relationship with God is based on His capacity to remember. Now, I don't know whether we think about God very often in that way. We think about God as supreme, God as all-knowing, God as all-powerful, God from everlasting to everlasting. And we think of those very broad descriptive terms that describe to us the Almighty. But in our personal relationship to God, all of those things are important and essential. But in our personal relationship to God, it is God's capacity to remember us, which becomes of critical importance in that relationship. Let's look at a few passages which emphasize that. Genesis chapter 8. Genesis 8 and verse 1. "And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged." Now we know that situation, the whole preparation of Noah and his family to prepare an ark and to assemble the animals, and the whole world lying in wickedness, God in his great displeasure now about to discipline the earth, punish the wicked. Noah is in the ark with his family and the animals, and the rain is stopped. And the scripture says, God remembered Noah. Is it likely he'd forget Noah? There were only 8 living people on the whole earth. Is it likely he was going to remember Noah, forget Noah in that situation with those animals? Of course not. But the point is being made here that God saw, remembered, would keep his covenant, would keep his promise, would fulfill his purpose. And that's what we need to see about God, that no matter whatever else happens, it is God alone who can act in the future. Men forget. Men pass off the scene. But God has the capacity to remember and the intent and the ability to fulfill. And that's what is happening here. God remembered Noah. A beautiful, beautiful phrase which captures for us the idea of our dependency on God. What if God forgot Noah? He'd bob around in the ark until he ran out of food and they would all die and perish in that little ark. It seems incredible. And so we have there, very forcefully given, God remembered Noah. Genesis chapter 19. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we pick up here just the word in verse 29 of Genesis 19. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. God remembered Abraham. The sparing of Lot was part of God's relationship with Abraham and that family. And God's work with Lot was not finished yet. And he brought Lot out of that city. But we see here this phrase, God remembered Abraham. He has Abraham in his mind because it is through the great covenant and the promises which God makes to Abraham that the future of the righteous are to be involved. Exodus chapter 2. Very familiar situations here, all of these, but just notice the word. Just notice the word here of God remembering. The children of Israel are in Egypt, in slavery. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God does a lot of things there, but the word we want to notice is that God remembered. He remembered Abraham, which was hundreds of years before this covenant which he'd made with Abraham, and then to Isaac, and then to Jacob. And his actions now in the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt, from the state of slavery and bondage, were because of that covenant. God remembered the covenant with Abraham. He's going to keep it. He had not forgotten it. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all dead. The whole generation was gone and in the dust of the ground. But God remembers and he will fulfill that covenant. Can we turn to the book of Nehemiah? And here we need just to notice this word again, as Nehemiah uses it again with great repetition. Chapter 1. We were here this morning in our first class, this beautiful prayer of Nehemiah. But in this prayer, Nehemiah is appealing to God. Notice the word, having made the confession of humility, which he does in the earlier verses at verse 8. Verse 8, Nehemiah 1. Nehemiah appeals to God. Imagine using this word in approaching the Almighty. Remember, I beseech thee the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if he transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. He's presenting to God things which God had said to the children of Israel through Moses. Remember, God, what you said. You said you would punish this people if they sinned. But you also said, and here's the point, please, God, remember, you also said, verse 9, but if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of heaven, yet will I gather them from thence. So he's appealing to God. Remember, you said if we disobeyed, you'd be scattered. But remember also that you said if we repented, we'd be regathered. And that was the appeal here of Nehemiah. Now, he continues the use of that appeal throughout this book. Chapter 5, verse 19. The last verse of chapter 5. The appeal here. This very touching appeal of Nehemiah to God. Think upon me. Think is the word remember. The same word remember used elsewhere in this book here. Remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. And he's not claiming to be righteous or that God owes him anything. He's just saying, remember me, God. Please remember. And that's the basis of our appeal to God. Please remember us. And it comes up beautifully in the last chapter of this book, chapter 13. Three times that phrase is used. Chapter 13, verse 14. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. Remember me, O my God, concerning this. Verse 22, the end of the verse. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. The last verse, verse 31. And for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits, remember me, O my God, for good. Now that's five times. Five times in this book that Nehemiah has appealed to God to remember him. Is it likely God would forget? God cannot forget. But the appeal was made on the personal level by Nehemiah to remember. Do not forget the goodness which we have shown unto thee. Do you remember the words of the man who was crucified next to Jesus? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. If there was one phrase we could say to the Lord Jesus Christ, would it not be that? If we faced the prospect of death, would it not be to say to the Lord Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom? Let us look at the New Testament assurance given to us now, the response to all these pleas. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, verse 10. Here's the answer. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. That's the answer to Nehemiah's plea, to remember me, O Lord, for good. And to all disciples of all ages, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. What a beautiful assurance to us that God will remember us. As we lie in the dust of the earth, we have passed from this scene, and we lie in the ground, and there's no one else living on the earth who even remembers us. No one who can go to the spot and say, here's where Ken is, or here's where you are. They don't even know the spot. How many people today will know of those who died 200 years ago, 500 years ago, 50 years ago? Can we go to the spot? Can we even remember the people and what they looked like and what they said and what their characters were? As we lie in the ground, only as dust. Our hope, our only hope, is that God remembers that we are there. Do you see now the importance of this principle? Our whole relationship with God is based on his capacity to remember. And we're told that our names are written in the book of remembrance. And it's a figure. There isn't a book up there where someone is inscribing certain names of people so that God, in case he forgets, can go back and find the spot and get the location and the description and all the details. God doesn't need that. But it's a way of saying to us, God is not going to forget. There is a book of remembrance, and God will not forget our work and labor of love. Well, now let's come to the other side. Let's come to our side of this issue of remembering. And I'd like to illustrate this just now with some everyday examples of our need and the way we help ourselves to remember. I brought a few things here which are common things in our everyday life that have to do with this problem we have of forgetting and our need to recall and to remember. So I don't know how many cameras there are here. We had an announcement before the class about assembling on the field. We're going to take some pictures. And we have cameras that take pictures that will record for us that which we cannot remember. We're going to get a picture of the little children with their beautiful little faces. And 10 years from now, we're going to look back, as I've seen at this Bible school, people showing pictures of the Bible school in the past and families in previous Bible schools. And we'll see the difference of how people have grown and changed and filled out and their hairs changed color and all sorts of details about them have changed. We don't remember those people. Now, it's nice to have pictures to show to those who aren't here and see things. But by and large, they're for our benefit, so we can remember. Wedding pictures, beautiful wedding pictures, and we have those pictures, and we say, that's what we looked like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago. And we have those images because they've long faded. Now, we have a great elaborate process at the Bible school to record talks, and we have the benefit of tape recorders. And the reason we need this is because 10 minutes from now, we'll hardly be able to remember what was said. We take notes, that's good, that'll be helpful. We'll lose those notebooks sometime. So best thing to do is get in your Bible, and hopefully you won't lose your Bibles. But we have these devices which will now play back the words, and we'll listen to that, and we'll say, I don't remember that. I don't remember the brother speaking about that point. I don't remember the subject of the class. So we have that to help us. That's a great help to us if used properly. You'll know what this is. Young people particularly, people in business, will recognize that as a little computer disk. Amazing thing. That little disk will hold 360,000 bits of information. And more, I don't know the exact detail. 360,000 bits of information. And they make them now that are half the size and will hold twice that. And 2 years from now, it'll be smaller again, will hold more information. Now, that's helpful to us in business. It allows us to bring back detail and information from the past that we couldn't possibly remember. And some people use that in the truth. They put their studies on that little disc, and the Bible, the entire Bible is on those discs, and people somehow can make good use of that. So we have business. The computer system is all designed to bring back information from the past. We have diaries. Diaries that are handwritten, take us back into our personal lives, into our personal history, and we record all sorts of interesting details about our lives. This diary is Sister Jones. We found it down in the basement, long since forgotten. And she wrote this 1 year after we were married. Our first daughter, Esther, was about to be born. This particular date is a couple weeks beforehand. Sister Joan writes this. Can you imagine her writing this? Today was like the calm after the storm. Monday is always seem quiet after spending a busy weekend with Ken. She'd forgotten she wrote it, and maybe somebody can help her understand what she had in mind when she wrote that. But think of these details now, long forgotten. This is the next day, September 11th, 1962. We received a nice baby's nightgown this morning from Sister Baker, a sister in Toronto, long since passed. She embroidered it herself. We also got a letter from home. Ken got home from work at 5 o'clock, and after we ate supper, we went for a walk, came home and did the readings, and then Ken worked on his Bible class. while I read some of Blunt's Undesigned Coincidences. That was a book that we heard about at Bible school, this Bible school from Brother Norman Rogers. He sent it to us before it had been reprinted. And we borrowed that book for 6 months, and Sister Joan went through that book and learned a lot from it and shared a lot with me. Listen to this detail. I made some rice pudding, which was a flop. It was terribly dry and had a funny taste. Well, it could go on and on. Very, very interesting and amusing. All sorts of names here from this Bible school. People who we knew when we lived in Pennsylvania and attended the Morristown Ecclesia. And we read here of the plans to buy and reconstruct the Morristown Ecclesial Hall. And I figured out last night that from the date when they bought the hall till now, there has been 1,300 memorial services at that hall. And an equal number of Bible classes. And a smaller number of CYCs. And who would have said in 1962 that the hall would be purchased, reconstructed, and 20 or so years later, we're still waiting for the Lord. All the details, funny little details, interesting details, helpful details of the past. We could never remember them all. And some of them are best forgotten. But nevertheless, we have that little prop to our thinking. Well, now, we need to think ourselves about how to bring those kind of things and use them in our spiritual lives. God is very, very intent that we remember His law. All kinds of details in His law were designed to teach the children of Israel that God was every day in their lives. Now listen to this list of things in their law. We already talked about the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Every 7 years, there was things in the law that had to be observed. There was the year of Jubilee, every 50th year. There was tithing. There was devotion of the firstborn. There were dietary laws, which they'd have to consider every day. Civil laws. In their business and in their practical lives, they would have to think about and apply. For men, there was circumcision. No man would ever forget that divine principle of circumcision. It affected his person. And for women, there was the separation, which would come to them and guarded their physical relationships with their husband. How could a Jewish person ever forget the law of God? It regulated every detail. Personal details, practical details of their life. It is impossible that they would forget. It's not like the information wasn't there. What would happen is that the prominence of that and the meaning of that would dissipate, and it would not play a significant part in their lives. Deuteronomy chapter 6, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Now there's something about this passage which is very, very important. The Jews recognized it immediately. This section of Deuteronomy is called the Shema by the Jewish people. This section, and they recite it very often. It captures for them the essence of their relationship with God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and love Him with all thy heart, soul, and might. And they capture in that, they recite that and capture in that their relationship to God and the need to teach and remember. And that section is called the Shema. And they take verse 9, and thou shalt write them upon thy posts, that is the law of God, the principles of God, thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Now, there's no detail as to how that's to be done. But the Jewish people, from that time till today, practice, those that are serious about their faith, practice and have in their homes something called the mezuzah. Funny name, I don't know if you've ever seen one or touched one, but I have one here I'd like to show you. This little piece of metal is called a mezuzah. And it has, as every mezuzah will have, the Shema written in Hebrew. Just a little section of scripture which is found inside that. And sometimes it's just a little tiny scroll which they roll up. It doesn't have to be a brass plaque like that. It can be wood, it can be virtually anything. And they come in all kinds of sizes and shapes, and some are very ornamental, and some have all kinds of scripture on them, and some have a little door on them, and you open up and see that little scripture. They all have the name of God. And it's their response, not a scriptural requirement, but it, to have a device like that at least, but they have that on their doorpost. And they nail it up there. And a rabbi comes, and there's a little ceremony, and they nail that up to their doorpost. And when they go out of their house, and when they come in, they rub their hand over it. They rub their hand over that mezuzah. And they say the words found in Psalm 121. Can we just look at that? Psalm 121. A beautiful, beautiful thought. Verse 8. Psalm 121, verse 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. What a beautiful, beautiful statement of faith and trust in the Almighty. And Jews, serious Jews, will do that even to this day. The Lord will preserve thy going out and thy coming in. They just brush that with their hand and walk out the door. And that is their prayer, entrusting their lives to God as they go about their business. The point I'm trying to make now is that the whole law of God was designed by the Almighty to help them remember. We looked at those passages in Deuteronomy, remember, remember, remember. Forget not, forget not. God knew that we would forget. And so designed in that law were features that would come to their attention every day to teach them of God's law, God's principles. Not the detail in themselves, but that they had a relationship with the great God of all the earth. And there was a purpose, and there was a standard, and there was a code which must be observed for God's righteousness and their own betterment. And we have the same thing in our lives. We don't keep all that code, all that law. But God has given to us the things we need to remember every day, His principles. And what are they? What are the things that God has given to us? Oh, He's given us the book. The Jews didn't have the book. They didn't have within their tents the scrolls that they could turn out and read up every night with their children. They didn't have that. They were instructed by the Levites. They would remember, they would recite these passages. They'd talk about them. Talk about them, because they didn't have the books to turn to. We have the book at our disposal, in our homes, and that's why we are enjoined to read every day. That's what God has given us. How can we walk by the book if it's out on our tables, right in a prominent place? How are we going to walk by it every day and not open it if we esteem it to be the law of God? We have the ecclesial family. They had the nation, that is true. We have the ecclesial family with all the beautiful dimensions of that family that God has described to us in the New Testament. We have prayer in a much more lofty way than the Jews did. Describe to us the things we should pray for. We had the records to read how to pray. And we have the facility of the high priest of the office of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have fellowship in a way which I believe the Jews never had. because we're taught a higher standard. We have the benefit of all the history that goes before. We have the weekly remembrance in the breaking of bread designed by Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me. The same principle. He knew we'd forget. If we didn't have a process to remember his death, his broken body, and his poured out blood, we'd forget it. Not that it wasn't in the recesses of our mind, but it wouldn't be where it belongs, right up front. And we are told to let our light so shine before men. That means we need to be concerned about everything that people will see about us. That certainly should bring an awareness of our responsibility to God. I must close. Can we look for our concluding passage at the first chapter of the letter by James? James chapter 1, and just one verse here. The word forgetting shows up a number of times here, but we look at just one verse, verse 25. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, a man who sees the law of God, who looks into the great blessings of what God is teaching us and communicating to us, the man who does that, continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.